Yes, I love it.
Sweet, he's giving me 300 boxes of grape nuts flakes.
Friends anybody ever had. And it's funny, but I feel as if I've known you all the time.
I love music, good music, but not swing. I sing.
Hi, and welcome to the Movie Magic Podcast. Each week, we will dive into a certain star and talk to some people who know much about him. I'm Kate, your host, and welcome to the Movie Magic Podcast. Hope you enjoy it. Hi, and welcome to the Movie Magic Podcast. Tonight's episode, we will be talking about Gloria DeHaven. I interviewed Gloria DeHaven's granddaughter, Holly Payne, not too long ago. Here's what she had to say about her grandmother. I hope you enjoyed the podcast.
So if you watch The Godfather, the original Godfather film.
Yes.
At one point when they're in Vegas, they're driving down the strip and you can mm-hmm. see my grandmother's name on the marquee at the Rancho Vegas. That was when they were shooting them, was when, you know, she was doing one of her residences.
I haven't seen The Godfather in such a long time. Now I have to go back and watch it.
That's a good reason to watch it again, but spent a lot of time in Vegas. I mean, mm-hmm. over the years, she was in Vegas quite a bit. It was just that was just the times, you know. Being an entertainer, you just did Vegas. She was also, obviously, she had done a film with Frank Sinatra, so she was
yes.
Rat Pack and all of those guys as well.
She worked, did she work with him once or twice?
Once on screen.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought, because I was trying to figure out, I can't remember who worked with him twice.
It was a film called Step Lively.
That's right, that's one of our choices in the blogathon.
Yeah,
so.
She gave Frank his first on-screen kiss.
Damn.
He was young then. I mean, they were both really young. Mm-hmm. But they got along, they got on like a house on fire. They were really, really good friends over the years, too. They continued to be friends for us.
It's like she was friends with everybody.
Well, I mean, she was, because that's the industry, you know what I mean? She didn't know anything but that, you know?
Yeah, I know my Gloria was friends with a lot of people, too.
Hollywood is a small community. It's mm-hmm. not big. It's very small. So everybody knows each other, for the most part. You know, if you don't know this person directly, you know someone who knows them.
And then right. Probably, exactly. You know? I think because when Gloria first called me in 2015, my Gloria, mm-hmm. She talked to me, I think, about everything about Deanna Durbin, because she's like, I see that you know the name. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I love her so much. Like, duh. And she's like, well, I have to. And then she kind of asked it, and it was really funny the way she phrased it. She's like, did you know her? And I was like, not personally, no. And she was like, good, okay. And I was like, okay, why? And then she just proceeded to tell me, like, a lot of things. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I can understand why she was so private now. And, like, I get it, like, why she declined interviews and stuff like that. I know that your grandmother was very open to doing interviews, because I've seen... She loved it. Okay.
My grandmother was a diva. With a capital D.
Was she really?
Oh, my God.
My level of respect for her just went up, like, 200%.
She was a drama queen. Like, so much. Well, because she didn't know anything but the industry from the time she was very, very young. If you think about it this way, like, she started performing when she was a kid, right?
So mm-hmm.
She learned theatrics very early. So if she didn't get her way with something, and this was true from the time she was very young until the time she was in her 90s,
mm-hmm.
she would throw a scene. You know, it would be like Harry, there are no hot dogs in the fridge.
I love her. I would be living for this. I don't think you'd understand.
No, she's amazing. But, you know, you see that enough and, you know, experience it enough. You're just like, oh, Gigi, come on. also, she's incredibly funny, too. Very, very sharp and funny and sarcastic. She had a biting, sarcastic sense of humor.
Yes.
And which I wish people got to see more of on screen. She never really got to do the comedic roles. And I think that was partly because of the era and partly because her looks they got in the way.
Yes. You know? She was a pretty face and they didn't want to ruin that.
She was curvy. She was like you know, she was like every guy's dream.
So yeah, my grandfather included.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. He was like, she is a blessing, and we are very blessed to be sharing the earth with this woman. And I'm like, all right. I will take that.
In one of her, I think it was her last screen, yeah, her last film role was Out to Sea with Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, mm-hmm. which was kind of like a, it was like a cheaper Grumpy Old Men. Like, they didn't call it a Grumpy Old Men movie. It wasn't.
It had the vibe of it, though. I've seen it, yeah.
It wasn't very good. I'll be honest. The movie wasn't very good. But
it was low budget.
it wasn't great. And she actually filled in for, who was it? I think it was supposed to be Shirley MacLaine that was going to be the Jack Lemmon's love interest in that.
Uh-huh.
And so Gloria ended up getting cast for it.
Come on. Sorry, one moment. Okay, come here. All right.
Which she was thrilled to do because he'd had a crush on Jack Lemmon for many, many years. And
Jack Lemmon is amazing.
But it was funny when I found out she had a crush on Jack Lemmon. I was like, really? Jack Lemmon? but anyway, so that film was not great, but what's great about it is to see the outtakes from it, because you can see her sense of humor in the outtakes. You can see how funny she was and how dry and, like, sarcastic and hilarious, just cracking everybody up on set, because that's what she did, you know? So there were sides that didn't get to be showcased so much, which I wish had, you know, been seen. She was whip smart. She was really, really smart and funny and biting. And also, she really liked funny men. I don't know if you knew this about her.
But no.
She had an affair with Jerry Lewis.
I heard that, but I wasn't going to bring it up. I was going to be like, so, my grandfather told me that she kind of slept with Jerry Lewis. Is that true?
Oh, no, he wrote that in his autobiography. So it's not like, you know, it's not.
Okay, because he told me that, and I was like, listen, I'm not going to be mad at her for it. Okay. do what you got to do, sis. I mean, if John Payne wasn't doing it for you, okay.
I mean, if you're curious about any of it, I can fill you in on some details.
Please, please tell me. I'm living for this.
So it's pretty juicy, mm-hmm. especially for the time, because it was the 40s. So mm-hmm. it was like, and I mean, it's scandalous because back in those days, obviously, as you know, like the head hoppers and stuff, they would do the sensational sort of exposés on people, but it wasn't like today. Like, most stars were protected pretty well, mm-hmm. like their exploits were pretty well protected. It was under the wraps, and the studios would make sure of that they were, you know, if they were seeing somebody on the side, people didn't know about it, that kind of a thing,
right?
And this particular incident, it was Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, June Allison,
uh-huh.
and my grandma, and they were in Vegas, and they shacked up together in a hotel room for a week.
Oh, shit.
A week. And basically didn't, like, come out for a week. Who knows what, yeah. And this is in the 40s, okay? So,
oh, my God.
I found out just a few years ago
mm-hmm.
that she had an affair on my grandfather, the movie star John Payne.
Yes.
Who was this movie star,
mm-hmm.
but she fooled around on him with Jerry Lewis.
I know, and I'm sitting there going, well.
I asked her about it, like, a couple of years before she passed. Actually, it was a year before she died.
Uh-huh.
And I said, so Gigi, I said, tell me who your favorites were. And she knew exactly what I meant. She's like, I said, and tell me why Jerry Lewis. And she said, because he was funny. He was hilariously funny. I said, yeah, but Dean was funny and better looking. She's like, yeah, but Dean, he wasn't silly and goofy, and he didn't make me fall over laughing. And
Jerry did.
And I loved that about her. It was like, it didn't matter, you know, she loved a guy with a sense of humor, and that was more important to her than looks or, you know, at least for that situation. She also slept with Clint Eastwood, which was a cougar situation, because he was some years younger than her at the time.
Oh my God.
she had some fun.
Oh, she had a ball, I'm sure.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Well, and also Tony Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Tony Curtis.
Yes. He married Janet Leigh at one point, didn't he?
He did. And their daughter is...
J Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in a weird way, in like Hollywood, you know, incest ways, like Jamie Lee Curtis and I are sort of like related and by only by Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have a lot of those. I have a lot of those. A lot of people who are sort of, you know, our grandparents or our parents all knew each other and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's so funny. I know the director is Henry Koster. I know Bob. That's his son. And Bob is like, oh, yeah, I know Linda Darnell's daughter, and I know this. I know Felix Jackson's kids. And I'm just, like, sitting here going, Bob, who don't you know?
They're all connected, though. We're all connected. I mean, when you're in the, like, I come from, people say this now, and I think it's ridiculous, but mm-hmm. Because I have so many family members in the industry, and right. So many, like, both sides of my dad's side of the family are famous or in the business.
Mm-hmm.
People will say you're part of Hollywood royalty, and it's like, I don't see it like that. Mm-hmm. But then I don't really care about fame too much. But if you think about the origins of the industry, then I guess yeah, that would be true. That is true,
right? But, yeah.
And I would say that's the same with Jamie Lee Curtis, obviously, because her mm-hmm. parents come from the golden age.
Oh yeah.
But it's interesting. It's funny when I was talking about Gigi and like her. Her sexual exploits. she was very, you know, she knew what she had. She knew what she had.
And she used it. Yes, ma'am, honey. If you got it flaunted, that's.
She did. She did. But what's funny is, like, if you read Tony Curtis's biography, mm-hmm. autobiography, there's a line where he talks about how they used to go and meet at the Beverly Hills Hotel, mm-hmm. Like, on a regular basis. Like, that was their regular thing. Mm-hmm. They would meet at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and he said she was a class act because she never told his wife. And what I think is funny about that, it's not funny, but what I think is interesting about that is that she was getting her own, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, she was like, you know what, I'm just gonna go out and have some fun. Hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, Gloria Jean had so many stories like that, but even though it was like, she was, oh God, there was this one story. It was so funny. She's like, well, she's like, you do know about the gray water story, don't you? And I said, what gray water story? She's like, oh, well, so she's like, you are familiar with a woman by the name of Benita Granville, correct? I was like, oh, I love her so much. I know her daughter. Her daughter's so sweet. She's so precious too. And then she goes, and you do know a woman by the name of Helen Parrish, correct? I was like, yes, I love her so much. And she goes, and you know Deanna, correct? And I was like, oh, of course, I love Deanna.
Yeah.
I love her. And she's like, okay, well, we went out to this lake and, you know, I got in, you know, about knee deep, whatever. I got in, Helen got in, we both turned and, you know, Benita was about to get in. Deanna wasn't doing anything. And, she, you know, Helen just went to the, aren't you ladies coming in? And Deanna went, no, gray water. What the hell is gray water, Deanna? Oh, it's piss and shit, Helen. Just thought I'd let you ladies know that you're just mixing around and galloping around in thousands of gallons of Los Angeles pee. And I was like, well, Gloria, what was your response to this? And she went, hold on.
What, baby? Come here. Well, come here. I can't help you. Well, come here. I can't help you if you don't come here.
Whoa! We are just a little bunch of energy, aren't we? Oh, my goodness.
She's like, I don't like this, Mommy. You're not giving me any attention. Nobody cares about me anymore. Nobody loves me. I don't get to go over and play with Rosie. That's my parents' dog. That's her best friend, who's also a puppy. And they have such wonderful times. So anyway, I was like, well, Gloria, what was your response to this? And she just went, the finest. I just went, oh my God, Gloria. So she's like, yeah, and I remember her granddaughter, Julia, telling me a lot of this, like a lot of these funny stories. And I'm just like, she's like, she's got crazy stories. I was like, I know. And you think they'd be making this shit up, but they're not. They had a wild time.
Stories most people would not believe at all.
Yes.
Like, but because it's Hollywood, it's kind of par for the course. You know what I mean? It is true, but it's crazy.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
there are some big nutty, crazy true stories because it's Hollywood.
Right.
So, what are your questions for me? And also, okay. Tell me more about the blogathon and yes. like what you what you're doing with the blog and
sure. So let me talk a little bit more about the blogathon, because the blogathon's so important. So what we do, so what we're doing is I'll keep you posted, because you know it's your grandmother and you know you're cool anyway. So also thanks to you for the follow. It was so cool. Mm-hmm. I was so honored. I was like, look who's following me. I screamed for like 5 minutes and my dad was just like, oh my God, only you would do this. And I'm like, yes, I know. I am finally being, yes. So I could like appreciate her and post and tag her. And I'm like, yes. So the blogathon, each month we pick a different Glorious film. So January it was Two Tickets to Broadway. And I really liked it. The problem was I wish she had a bigger part in it. I don't know why we picked that movie. My friend just was like, here are the films we're picking. And I was like, okay, cool. Since I'm inadequate and I don't know how to pick movies, but cool. And then we're picking Summer Holiday. And then we're picking, like, because February is the underpup for My Gloria. So I'll have a whole bunch to say about that because, you know, My Gloria and I, we knew each other till really the day she died. We knew each other for a few years. Are you trying to get up here, Danita? Well, hold on. Just 1 second. Come here. One, two, three. Jump. Okay, here you go. And you can chew on that. Anyway, so the blogathon is going to be all year, and each month is a different film. Let me see if I can bring it up here. Because on which film is next for your grandmother, because I'm so excited. I haven't seen all of her work. I've seen only a select few. But Summer Holiday is one of those films that I was so excited. Yes, I was so excited that she picked it. I was so, so excited. I was like, yes! It's so exciting. Okay, let's see. We are going to go with Gloria announcing the Glorified Glorious Blogathon. Okay, Two Girls and a Sailor is the next one that we picked for March. So that's a film I'm very familiar with because I work with it all the time.
Right.
For artists and musicians and stuff like that. I don't know why. They just were like, pick something lively. And I'm just like, sure.
Right. Well, and Lively is pretty lively.
Yes, May, we picked that one for May. We picked The Yellow Cabman, Summer Holiday.
I would say Best Foot Forward is a great choice, too. But
yeah, my friend didn't pick that one, and I'm surprised. I think because Best Foot Forward, she doesn't have a big part in it, right? She only has like a few minutes.
She doesn't have enough part in that one.
Okay, I'll definitely see if we can get that one.
Summer Stock is really, that's a major one.
Summer Stock is huge, yes. I'm very familiar with Summer Stock because she's in there with Judy, and she's just absolutely incredible. And then I think Broadway Rhythm was the last one that we have for November because the other ones are My Glorious. So my questions, I have a few. They're not a lot because I remember like usually my emails when I write questions are like 20 and I'm like, okay, Kate, they do not have the time nor capacity to do that. So
there were just a couple that just right off the top of my head, I was like just the one that jumped out was like, when did you know your grandmother was famous? And I was like, that's a weird question. Like she always, like my whole family is. So
yeah. I think like, for me, not, like, maybe it was really strange, like, the way I phrased it, because I'm not very good at phrasing things sometimes. Like, kind of sometimes I'd be like, if some people, like, for Gloria Jean, I'd be like, so how did you find out your grandmother was famous because her family wasn't all in the industry? So I guess it's kind of like that question of, like, did you know already if she was or not, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. My first question is, I think you kind of answered it for me, but what was she like? You know, she was fun, loving, right? She had a ball.
Gigi was very childlike. Mm-hmm. I would say that's a really good place to start with Gigi. She was very childlike. When I say that, I mean she never had a proper upbringing except in the industry. So her mind kind of always sort of stayed very childlike. So she, you know, she would throw tantrums like a child. She would be very excited like a child. You know what I mean? Like, those emotions were were very represented in her. She was, like I said, very funny. Funnier than most people would ever have given her credit for. You know what I mean? Not on the screen. Anyone who knew her was like, thought she was the bee's knees. Like, the gays loved her because she was so, you know, they loved her. Her best friend was Rex Reed for a long time. So she's a big, this is not PC to say now, but she's a big fag hag back in the day.
Oh, yeah. She's a big gay icon. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. They loved her. She, like I said, had diva tendencies.
That's what my Gloria said too. My Gloria, she knew, like I said, she knew your grandmother pretty well at one point. And I think I was like, well, what was she like? And she goes, well, I said, she annoyed you, didn't she? She says, no, she didn't annoy me, but she was very, very proper. Very proper than I was. And I was like, oh, okay.
Proper. I don't know what that means per se. Proper.
Yeah. I think she was trying to say that your grandmother was a diva, but didn't know how to put it.
Oh, I see. Well, when I say she was a diva, I mean she was used to being a movie star. And she's been a movie star for a long time. And I remember, like, when I was, I think I must have been 7 or 8 or something like that. We went to, I was visiting L.A. Mm-hmm. And she and I were supposed to go to Disneyland. And I was staying with her at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel.
Wow.
And she was doing Johnny Carson, I think, or something like that. Anyway, but she promised me Disneyland. And I was so excited to go to Disneyland with her. And so I kept saying, Gigi, when are we going to Disneyland, you know? And she had to do, like, phone calls during the day. This is the day that we're supposed to be going to Disneyland. Getting later and later and later in the day. And it was, like, midday, and I was like, Gigi, are we going to Disneyland? And she's like, it's all about you. Everything's about you. You know, it was just like, she's like, I was on the phone with, do you know who I was on the phone with? And I said, no, who? And she said, Fred Heyman of Giorgio Beverly Hills. And I was like,
who the hell is that?
Fred Heyman was this guy who was the, you know, he did the perfumes for Giorgio Beverly Hills. So we ended up on Rodeo Drive at Fred Heyman, Giorgio Beverly Hills. And I just remember her having this conversation with Fred Heyman. And, you know, and I was sitting on a couch waiting for her. We never got to Disneyland.
Oh.
But there was a lot of, like, and I was kind of just having, I was crestfallen. I was like, looking forward to Disneyland like a kid would. And everything was just like, you're so selfish. It's all about you. Which it couldn't have been more the reverse, really, you know?
Yeah.
But there were moments like that a lot. And they were, you just got to, you know, you got used to them. There was I have a really good story for you. This was one of my favorites, actually.
Please.
It was 1984. Mm-hmm. I was visiting her in New York. She was living on Riverside Drive in New York. She was doing Ryan's Pope at that time, the soap opera.
Oh!
On ABC. Yeah. She had a regular role. She played, I remember her daughter's character's name was Bess Shelby, but I can't remember her character's name. Anyway, so she was a regular on this soap. Mm-hmm. My mom and I were going to go visit her, and we stayed with her, ended up seeing Cats on Broadway. It was amazing. We had a great time in New York, but went to this place called Minetta's Tavern, which is still there. It's an institution. It was where a lot of the old movie stars would go and have dinner. And so there's these photos all over the walls in this place, Minetta's Tavern. And they have, you know, photos of Frank Sinatra. And they had a couple of photos of her on the wall. And we're there having dinner. And it was her choice to bring us there. And there's this party, this table that's like 3 tables away from us. And it's a long table, a big group of people. And there's this one guy who's like an overweight guy, kind of Harvey Weinstein-ish, to be honest, you know, like that.
Yeah. Kind of creepy dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was wearing a white suit and he was really holding court. Like he wanted to be heard. Like he was just loud and, you know, and just, he was obnoxious and he was so loud and stealing focus from Gigi. Not the focus, but it's like he was the loudest person in the room and she was getting really annoyed. really, really annoyed. And she told me and my mom, she said, watch this. And she asked the maitre d', she said, I'm going to go ask for them to give me a tour of my own photos around the room. But I'm going to make my way past him as well. So she ended up going around the room, looking at all these photos on the wall with the maitre d', and maitre d's like, and she's like, oh, I remember that time. Oh, that was, and so I forgot to mention the most important thing. Mm-hmm. She has a big glass of red wine in her hand.
Oh, God.
A big glass of red wine. And she's being taken around the room, looking at these old photos of her and all of her movie star friends. And there, this giant table where this guy is at, there's a chair behind him, but there's no one sitting at that table behind him. So there's really no reason for her to have to walk behind him and squeeze between his chair and the chair next to him. But she does it anyway. She squeezes behind him, and my mom and I are sitting at the booth watching this whole thing happen. And it's the worst acting I've ever seen in my life, by the way. This guy's like, oh, laughing. And she does this. She looks over at us. She's like, and then she goes, oh, oh no! Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And anyway, so everyone at the table, his table, are horrified. Mm-hmm. Also, they had heard her bitching about him at our table. So they knew that it was all an orchestrated event.
Oh, jeez.
They said, we know you did that on purpose. We heard you over there bickering and talking about him the whole time. You didn't have to, you could have just said to be quiet. You didn't have to come over and spill red wine all over his white suit. And she said, well, he was being really loud, wasn't he?
Oh, I would have lived. Oh, hi, baby. Hi.
So we all, and
I would have died. Yes, queen. Yes. Oh, okay, I love her. I'm such a stan.
The front were so, like, they were mortified, but at the same time, they loved Gigi, so they were like, Gigi, you know, just, you know, we're not gonna ask you to leave, but can we keep the peace here? Can you just, she's like, well, how long is he gonna be here? You know, she was just so pissed. When is he gonna leave? Obviously, red wine didn't, but I think the guy's suit was completely, completely. And so she ended up saying, oh, well, I'll pay for the dry cleaning, but does that mean you'll leave any sooner? She was funny.
Yes.
She was a Leo, too. She was a Leo like me. My mom was a Leo as well. So she was a, you know.
So when's your birthday?
August 13th.
August 13th. Okay.
Yeah. Gigi was July 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My mom was August 17th. It's funny because my mom and Gigi were not related, because mm-hmm. Gigi is my dad's mom, but my mom and Gigi were so much alike. It's crazy. But yeah, so that, there you go. That's a little bit of insight. Very funny. Like, didn't suffer fools.
Yeah, you answered question number 6 about if she was funny or not, because I know you were saying that she was incredibly funny.
Very
yes. She just
Oh, wait, I'll tell you something.
Please.
This popped up in my memories on Facebook today.
Oh.
I
think I might have added you via Facebook, but I'm not sure if I did or not.
Okay. Let me see, here we go. This is what 2 years before she died.
Oh my God.
Do you remember when the Ermagerd meme was going around?
Yes.
I was like, Gigi, just say Ermagerd. She's like, Ermagerd. She kept saying it over and over again.
She's so, oh my God. I love her.
There. She's still gorgeous. You can still tell.
Yes. She always looked so beautiful. Like, it didn't matter what age she was.
Because
my friend Christine was like, oh my God, look at all these pretty pictures of her. and all these beautiful things. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, she just looks so freaking gorgeous. And I'm just damn, sis.
She aged really gracefully. Never had anything done. Never had any work done at all. Just blessed with amazing, genes.
Wow.
Yeah.
She just...
Also could be silly, you know what I mean? There you go. That's a good example of her. She loved being silly and playful, and every time I would see her, she would just hold my face and say, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. She loved the fact that I had a little bit of the Hollywood looks.
Yes, you do. She right.
I look like a movie, but I have like that, the dark hair, the light eyes. I'm nowhere near as pretty as she is, but there's she sees the lineage. She sees herself, and she likes that I would dress.
She likes, yes, she likes that you're a pain.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is so cool. I was talking to my friends today at work, and I was like, dude, like, I get to interview like Holly Payne, and everyone's like, who's Holly Payne? And I'm like, dude, she is the granddaughter of Gloria DeHaven and John Payne. Well, who's John Payne?
Exactly.
I'm like, Miracle on 34th Street? No. I've seen very few of your grandfather's films. Very few of them. Yeah. I have seen his first wife's, Anne Shirley. I've seen a lot of her work.
Miracle on 34th Street is one of the best, obviously. I would say The Razor's Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you wanted to get into like his film noir movies, those are the ones to really dig into. Some amazing film noir movies.
I know somebody mentioned one to me, and I cannot remember for the life of me what it was called.
Kansas City Confidential.
I think that's what it was. And I was like, okay, let me check this out. Because I do adore me some John Payne in Miracle on 34th Street. I do have the biggest crush on him in that movie.
Actually, here's an interesting bit of trivia about him. Mm-hmm. He brought that book to the studio to have it adapted. He's like, this is an incredible book. And he has a copy of that book signed to him from the original author.
Whoa.
But he was the one who brought it to the studio and was like, this needs to be made into a film.
Yeah.
But also, I think that was the second incarnation of Miracle on 34th Street. I think it had been done as a film before that. I have to do my history, but that's the one, of course. That's the only Miracle on 34th Street for what it's worth, in my opinion. It's like...
I agree, and that's the only one I will watch, period.
Exactly.
It's the only one. I will watch Edmund Gwynn, Natalie Wood, Maureen O'Hara, and John Payne every freaking holiday season. Yeah. I don't care what time or day it is in the month of December. Girl, that movie will be on, period, playing on repeat, because it is so fabulous.
I didn't watch It's a Wonderful Life until I was in my 30s, because it was the other Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I was so, I was like, I don't want to see that one. That's the competing Christmas movie. My grandfather's movie, and that's all. I don't want to see it. And then I finally saw it, and I was like, this is amazing. I love this movie.
I saw It's a Wonderful Life when I was about 7, and that was my first introduction to Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed at the same time. Yeah. And I loved them both so very much. I still do. It's weird. It's so funny, because when I was trying to talk about thinking, okay, Donna Reed's so cool. Well, what movie was she in? Oh, she's in It's a Wonderful Life. What's that movie? Okay, then y'all are uneducated.
That's when you know not to talk to somebody. You just end the conversation right there.
Yeah, and it's basically when I'm at work and I'll be like, yeah, I get to talk about Gloria DeHaven, and I'm so excited. Like, yes, I get to fangirl and get to spiel all my love for this woman. And people are like, who's Gloria DeHaven?
Well, you're educating the people, and I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I just because my grandfather used to say this, just because they're dead, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're gone. And to me, that hit a chord with me. I'm like, yes, your grandmother's been gone, I think, for 3 years now? 3-4 years?
Yeah. Exactly.
And to me, she's not... I don't want her to be gone. Like, I think for me, she's still there. Like, I still want people to talk about her. I still want to include her in the conversation. I still want people to know who she is. Because if they don't, she's gone.
Keep the memory alive, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. they were on this planet for for a long time. They don't just disappear. And also, you know, their energy is still out there, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, just scientifically, their energy is still, it's still in the mix. They don't haven't gone anywhere.
Exactly.
She's a star that's made of stardust, literally. So
literally that. So that was that. So my second question for you is, she's made quite a bit of movies.
Yeah.
What is your favorite film that she made?
Ooh.
I know that's a tough one, but I always wonder.
You know what? I really, really like her performance in The Thin Man Goes Home.
Mm-hmm.
She's really young in it.
She is. She's like, she what?
She was 16? Like 17.
Yeah, I was like 16, yeah. 16
yeah,
maybe?
She was really young. But I love how kind of, she's feisty in it. She's, you can see her precociousness in that role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite performances that she gave on the big screen. I love her, though, in some of the sitcoms that she did and TV later in life.
Which I have to see. I haven't seen them, so.
Oh, my God. Her on Mama's Family kills me. She mm-hmm. was on Mama's, Carol Burnett with, you know, Mama's Family. And
I've seen snippets of that, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Really funny. So anytime she had a chance to be funny, those are my highlights. But she did on TV more than she ever did on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, as far as like her, I think Summer Stock is pretty great too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I liked it to see her. I like to see her play against, not against type, but something a little different than what she's usually cast for. There was a film noir that she did with Van Johnson. Did you ever see that?
I don't think I did.
That was kind of fun too, because it was, again, it was, she was the. She was the mall, you know what I mean? She was mm-hmm. the, she had to be a little more edgy in that one.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of that movie? Do you remember?
I'm looking it up right now. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, okay.
It's going to hit me as soon as I see it. Oh, by the way, I recommend The Girl Rush, too.
Okay, I need to see that, too.
Scene of the Crime is the film noir.
Scene of the Crime. I haven't... I feel like I've heard of it, but I haven't gotten a chance to get around to watching it. It's definitely on one of my... I call it my watch list. It's films I need to, quote, download so I can use them. Because that's how I watch a lot of these films. I will download them, and I will watch them, and then if I like what I see, I will sample them, and I will use them in a next project for stuff. So, yeah. I think my favorite has got to be Summer Holiday. She's so cute, and I'm not the biggest fan of Mickey Rooney, but there's a scene in this movie, I think it's like towards the beginning.
Asshole.
Yes, he is! Thank you! Thank you! So, okay,
always
good.
Always an asshole. Horrible. I've met him on several occasions. I mean, you know, rest his soul, but he was a complete asshole.
Thank God somebody said it that wasn't a fan. Thank God. Okay.
Well, I've met him in person.
Oh.
A handful of times. I met him in person.
Oh,
obviously,
no.
I've met a lot of these people, you know.
Oh, God bless you.
You know, one of the best stories I can tell you about Gigi is when, this is in the 1980s, I think it was 1988,
mm-hmm.
she did a stint at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
She did a whole month of singing torch songs and classics, and her opening night was a room filled with all of the biggest stars that ever lived. So, and I was there. Mm-hmm. It was one of the most terrifying nights of my life, because I was awkward. I was like an awkward teenager at the time, like just overweight, you know, mm-hmm. had some zits and just had an ill-fitting dress, horrible haircut,
mm-hmm.
but I was about to meet all of these amazing people, and there to support my grandmother, obviously.
Yeah.
But the room was filled with Milton Berle, Lucille Ball, Bea Arthur, Betty White,
wow.
Red Skelton, Red Buttons, Tony Curtis, like the list was just insane.
Right, because I remember her, I think I remember her That's talking really, about that.
Like, list goes on, yeah.
Yeah, she was talking about Dorothy L'Amour not showing, like saying that, hey, I want to come and see you, but I have the flu or something. I remember her telling in an interview.
Everyone who did was, I mean, I met Lucille Ball, for fuck's sake. So
whoa.
But I was sitting with Milton Berle. So
whoa.
I was at the front table with Milton Berle. It was just the rest of my family didn't come. Like the only person that would have come would have been my dad. My dad's not into that. He doesn't like the whole Hollywood scene. So I went, and it was just me and Uncle Milty sitting at a table together, and he bought me a Diet Coke. I remember very vividly, so horrifying. At the end of the show, she's sung all these amazing songs. She did songs from Summer Stock, from Summer Holiday. She did all of her, and a lot of standards that she'd never sung on the screen. It was a great night. She still had it. I mean, it was just amazing. She looked tremendous. But at the end of the night, she said, I'd like to thank everyone in the audience for being here. You know, it's nice to know the little girl like me. She's doing her old bit and thanking everybody, and everyone's applauding. And Milton, Uncle Milty, he says, hey, Gloria, you're forgetting the most important person in the room. Me. He pointed to, and then the spotlight hit me.
Oh, God!
Yeah. And she hadn't sung Who's Sorry Now yet.
Oh.
And so he's like, he pushes me up there. Spotlight gets up. I could see the look of fear in my grandmother's face because I'm a performer, but I do comedy, and I've been doing improv comedy. But I'm not a singer by any stretch. So get up on stage. As I said, I look completely awkward. I'm at my most awkward teen. I'm my most awkward teen self. And I'm up there, and we have to sing Who's Sorry Now together. So we sang Who's Sorry Now together in front of a room of Hollywood legends.
Whoa.
I was petrified. It was like the best and worst situation you could possibly imagine. It was just like, I just hoped I hadn't embarrassed her, at the end of it. Because I was just like, Who's Sorry Now? I just remember kind of doing, like, Lucille Ball commented afterwards, this I'll never ever forget. She's like, stick with comedy, kid. That's what she said. And I was like,
you're like, yes.
In my awkwardness, I knew I couldn't sing, so I was kind of hamming it up a little bit and being funny, right? And she's like, you might not be able to sing, but stick with comedy, kid. And that was from Lucille Ball. So that's like,
yes.
Why did I bring that up? I don't know. It was a good story about Gigi. That's why I brought it up.
I love good stories, man. Anything like that makes them... I love it when people tell me stories about them. It's so interesting. It's like Sunday I have, I'm going to try to reach out to Deanna Durbin's daughter. I don't know how that's going to go. Everyone's going to be like, everyone's literally like, good luck, Kate. And I'm just like, I know they're going to be like, you're probably not going to get anything out of her. And I'll be like, well... Her mom was so private, and she didn't probably want to talk about her career at all, but I bet you anything she's probably got some really good crazy stories like that. But I know Gloria Jean certainly had some really good crazy stories and fun stories like that. I know Julia told me some, and I'm just sitting there trying not to bawl, and I'm just like, no, but anything, it just makes them more human. It just makes them more alive. Yeah. I mean,
I have an interest in Gigi. These are stories these are human stories that actually happened and from, from her blood relations. So.
Yes. My favorite is Summer Holiday and then Summer Stock. That is.
I'm looking at your list now of questions. Uh-huh. I think we covered a bunch of this stuff, but did she ever talk about her career with me?
Yeah, that was one that that's what I was going to ask next. If she ever talked about
it. All the time. I had questions throughout her entire life, and she, again, it was, the situation where I'd hear these amazing stories from, her early days in vaudeville when they struggled, when she was really young, they struggled. They were eating, she'd say this story to me over and over again, but they used to eat, they'd have to eat dog food out of a can because it was so, they were so
broke. Bless their heart.
That changed eventually, obviously, when they moved to Hollywood, but she loved being in the industry. She wasn't a casualty of the whole Hollywood system the way that Judy Garland was. She never accepted the drugs that the studio system would kind of try to give to young starlets to keep them manageable, so to speak.
Good. I was gonna ask,
She had a good strong sort of, even though she was very childlike, she still had a good core, a strong core of integrity and knew.
I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did. I was trying to make this full screen, but I'm not sure what I'm doing. See, this new Skype is just weird for me. Anyway, Skype's changed so much. There we go. I made you bigger. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah. That definitely, yeah. Studio systems were definitely really hard back then, especially towards women. And I think that's why. I'm sorry?
Come to all of that, which, you know, she was still part of the studio system. She was a contract player.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't a casualty of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Thank God. Yeah, because I know that's what definitely, like, Gloria was telling me, you know, like Helen Parrish and Deanna, they should have been treated a lot better, you know, even with me, you know, we got no advice on how to, like, use our money, you know, they just basically told us to spend it all and blow it, and, you know, and just, you know, they had no really general advice on how to manage us or how to raise us or how to do anything. It was just like, it was really nuts and really crazy. One question I do have, I don't know if I put it in there, it's because I always go back to, like, this is a quote that my Gloria said to me, and I want to know maybe the opinion on it. She said, Hollywood can be a very toxic place. When you get there, you're injected with toxicity, and when you leave, it's very hard to get that toxic out. So my question basically is, do you think Hollywood was a positive for her or a negative, or both?
Both. Mm-hmm. Definitely both. Mostly, she never got to grow up. She never mm-hmm. got to have a real experience of what real life was.
Mm-hmm.
She never had that. So I don't think, but she wouldn't have known anything different. She wouldn't be able to, I don't think she would have been able to survive in the real world. She wouldn't know what to do without having the Hollywood lifestyle in some aspect. Mm-hmm. When she was young, you know, she had kids probably too young, because that's mm-hmm. done, that's what you do in Hollywood.
She had her first kid at 19, didn't she? Mm-hmm.
And she, because she's on sets and she's making movies, doesn't really add up to the best situation for a child to be raised in.
Mm-hmm.
So both my dad and his sister Clancy kind of had a rough go of it growing up. You know, they're raised by nannies and raised by a mother who didn't really know how to be a mother, you know? So, you know, she had the best intentions, but she wasn't motherly per se. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? She was making movies, and she was a child herself, to be perfectly honest, you know? She was a kid herself, so she mm-hmm. didn't know how to be anything but that. But she was all love. I mean, she was just the biggest heart ever. But yeah, I think that it is a toxic place. It's partly why I resisted going into the industry at all. I never wanted to have anything to do with Hollywood, because fame really kind of screws people up. It's a really dangerous thing, you know. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, my dog is like crashing this interview. Like, she's just like, mom.
She's a diva.
She is. She, you know what? I couldn't have picked the better names for her, because she is so, like, she embodies those two names that I've picked for her. Like, she's just like, mom, and just like, mommy. And I'm just like, I freaking love you. So would you classify her as more, because most people would be like, if they were more public people or more private people, do you think she was more of a public person?
Definitely. She loved the attention. Are you kidding me? She loved it. If you didn't get it, something was wrong. If it wasn't getting the attention, then it was like, well, why aren't they looking at me? Why isn't, you know, what? She wouldn't, maybe use those words, but she would definitely be like, you know, she'd have to do something so that people would pay attention to her.
Yeah. I just love her.
She was fun. She was so much fun.
That's, you know what? Your grandmother and my Gloria, they are like literally the same person, just different last names. Like, because when I was talking to Julia, her granddaughter, she was like, she was a blast. She was a ball. She was a lot of fun. And I'm like, well, DeHaven seems like a lot of fun, too. Like, I'm like, reading all this stuff. She looked like she had a ball.
Gary, her son, my uncle, could tell you some stories. I mean, I wouldn't go, I won't speak out of turn because I'd want him to tell you if
you I would love to hear his side of the story. Absolutely. I would love to hear his side of the story for sure. That would be terrific.
I don't know who would actually tell him. That's why I'm being discreet. I don't think he would want to. Oh. She was fun. And they had great times together. But yeah, she was a party girl. She loved to party.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, I've heard that she was a bit of a party girl, so.
She was never reserved, you know. She was always up for a good time, you know. She liked to have fun. Like, that goes back to sort of her childlike nature. She always wanted to play, you know. She wanted to have fun.
That sounds like a lot. That sounds like the stories I've heard, for sure, that she always wanted to be there and, like, kind of be around people, and was like a little bit of a partier. Like, she reminds me a little bit of me. Like, I'm very much of a social butterfly, which is really odd for autistic people, because most people are like, wow, Kate, you're so, like, out there. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, these women literally taught me how to socialize, like, how to go out and, like, how to handle myself well. That's why I think I love them so much, because when I'm watching them and they're like having fun at parties and stuff, and like when she two girls and a sailor, there is a sequence, she's punching June Allison in the face, and I was like, this is how you fight people. Like, they teach me how to, like, live my life in a way. But I always figured that she was a public person, because I've seen a lot of her interviews on YouTube and a lot of
which is great. I'm really glad that YouTube exists, because it's great to see her in all of these different interviews. And there's a few of them that are kind of later in her life, where she really kind of reflects on her whole life and her career. And it's very insightful, and it's great to be able to see her own take on what that whole Hollywood lifestyle was like. Okay, let's see, because I'm gonna have to get going in like 30 minutes. But there are a lot of questions, so I want to get through. Did she like animals? Did she have any pets? She loved animals. Absolutely loved animals. She had a favorite dog named Meanie, which is a little scrappy, like, chihuahua mix that she had when she was living in New York. Was her beloved, like, that was her soulmate dog, Meanie. I remember, like, I would play with Meanie, and you'd get the toy in Meanie's mouth, and they would do this. It was this tiny dog that had this kind of big dog
personality.
Yeah, so you'd play with this dog, and she'd go, and it would crack up. So she loved dogs. She had a cat named Maggie when she was in her 90s, that was Harry's cat that loved her. Dog named Roxy that passed right after, I think it was right after she passed away.
Oh, man.
It was like she was bonded with this cat and the dog, and they both left when she left. They were like, she's gone. We have no reason to stay.
Right. Absolutely.
Big animal lover. Did I get to see her often? Yes, thankfully. I got to see her a lot. Yeah.
Good.
Really, genuinely very, very, very close. We adored each other. We would crack each other up. She was an amazing grandma. Really was. Sorry, Gigi. I just said grandma. Yeah. Anyway.
One of the questions that I had, I think it's, I also put in there, I always like to ask, so were there any co-stars that she didn't like? Were there anybody that she didn't like in the industry, or did she like everybody?
Yeah, she did or didn't, I wouldn't say, because I wouldn't want to cast them in a bad light, you know? So I'm going to default on that question. I'm going to pass on that question, because I don't think that's helpful. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think it's good for anybody. I don't think it's, you know, it's like, that's just, and to be honest, there's nobody I can think of that she ever had a bad word about. There's nobody that she ever told me, oh, I didn't like working with that person. She appreciated every minute of what she did, you know? Even though she was born into it, she still kind of, she had respect for the industry and respect for
people, for sure.
people and for the work.
Absolutely.
You know?
For
that's
sure.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I can't think of anybody that she would have said, no, there's nobody that comes to mind. But also, if there was, I wouldn't say.
Okay.
That makes,
yes.
Yeah. Did she like to travel? She loved to travel. She did a lot of USO shows. She would travel a lot with Bob Hope for the USO. So she'd go and see the troops. She loved Paris. That was one of her favorite places. She loved London as well. I spent a lot of time in London. She always, every time I went, she would want to know, hey, what's it like now?
Mm-hmm.
In years. But yes, she loves to travel. I'm just going through a lot of the questions that I see that are in your list. Film that she made that she didn't like. I mean, she had better experiences on some than others.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it was, she never really had a negative thing to say about it because she was doing what she loved. You know?
Right. So how could she not love what she loved?
She always appreciated that, you know? Mm-hmm. It was, even if it was a struggle, even, here's the thing, when mm-hmm. she was on set, she was never really a diva because mm-hmm. she loved the work so much. It was off camera when she wasn't getting noticed or wasn't given. That's when she, the diva side would come out. But when she was working, she was a workhorse, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Did she sing around me? She sang all the time. She would sing all the time. It was one of her favorite things to do. In fact, and she loved it. Absolutely loved it. My dad is an amazing man, and he is a folk singer, and he plays guitar.
Oh, wow.
And when Gigi was in the hospital, the two of them, and I have great video somewhere of it, but he would play guitar and two of them would sing together while she was in the hospital. It was one of the things that really made her get well, and actually it helped, I swear to God, it helped her get out of the hospital at least once or twice because her spirits were so lifted by being able to sing and play music with my dad. And so yeah, I remember they sang Yankee Doodle Dandy together, and she's just like a little kid. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Loved singing. It was part of her. It was so much a part of her. She sang every day, every
wow.
single day. Yeah. It just brought her joy. Are all of her children still living? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, my Aunt Clancy is very ill.
Oh.
She's in her 70s. That was her first child.
Mm hmm.
First child, which I think she's 18, not 19, by the way.
Oh, wow. Still young.
And then, so Gigi had Clancy first. My aunt Kathleen is her given birth name.
Mm-hmm.
Is her nickname. My dad in 1948. And then divorced my grandfather, John Payne.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple of other relationships, but not didn't get married until her second husband, Harry's dad, Fincher.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Fincher. So, and then she had two kids from that marriage, which are my aunt Faith and my uncle Harry. You know, my aunt Faith might talk to you.
I reached out to her. Okay, yeah, please. I did reach out to her, but I haven't heard anything back yet.
Okay, yeah. I mean, she might. If I've talked to you, then she'd be more inclined to.
Please. anything would be great. I always love to get different perspectives on what
yeah.
a person was like. It's just me, because I'm very much into, like, human connection, I guess. That's kind of weird of
yeah.
me to say. For these people, these stars meant a lot to me, and to get to know what they were like is, like, everything.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so, like, when I say it's so honoring to talk to you, and it's so honoring, I mean that, because it's like, I get to finally tell these people, hey, guess what? Your grandmother was
no,
so great.
It's good to know that, you know, it, like I said, it's really good to know that anyone still appreciates them and has this much love and reverence for these stars of the past that
mm-hmm.
could very easily be forgotten. You'd be surprised. I live literally in the center of Hollywood. I live 2 blocks from Hollywood Boulevard.
Wow.
And people just are quickly losing their history with Hollywood. They don't remember. No one watches black and white movies anymore.
They don't care about the people who made them. And I'm like, and I'm trying to tell you guys, hey, guess what? Because of these people, because of Gloria DeHaven, because of this other people, you have these movies. You have this. So please don't forget who came before you, peeps.
Yeah.
Because they did. And they are the ones that made them
cool. Yeah, they made all of it possible. Exactly. Exactly. Let's see. Could she cook?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lick. Nope. I think she could make a bowl of cereal. I mean, you know, pour milk over cornflakes, but I don't know. She couldn't cook.
I think she never needed to because Hollywood fed her so much.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't think I ever. No, I never saw her cook, ever. She had to fend for herself somehow when she was living alone, but I don't know how she did. Well, she was living in New York, so she would order out all the time or order in.
Absolutely. She would probably have, Times Square to go to and eat.
Well, and New York is walkable, so she could go anywhere she wanted in New York. But I do remember, you know, towards the end of her life, too, she was still being weighted hand and foot by my Uncle Harry. Like, I remember he would bring out, like, a tray of vegetables, one of her favorite things to eat. This is so cute. She was so cute. Like, she would wear, like, a muumuu, no makeup. This is towards the end of her life. It was only towards the very end of her life, the last, in her 90s, I would say, or late 80s and 90s, that she really kind of finally was like, could go without makeup or, you know, really relax and not have to be the glamour puss. But at the same time, like every Christmas or every holiday, anytime there's an opportunity to put lipstick on, like Harry's wife, Tamara, would get her dolled up and put lipstick on. She's like, I look so pretty. I feel so pretty. She loved the glamour. She loved having her nails done. She loved all of that through her entire life. Like that was just, she was such a girly girl, you know? Gigi was such a girly girl.
I love that.
Towards the end of her life, she wasn't so fussed about going out with a full face of makeup all the time, or she'd be around the house without makeup, and she'd wear a muumuu, and I remember Harry would bring her, like, a tray of vegetables. Her favorite thing to eat was, like, you know, veggies with chunky blue cheese dip, and she'd just sit there and eat her shrimp cocktail or her blue cheese with veggies and watch movies. Like, we'd watch screeners together at Christmas. Wow. But I remember her, too, like, being in front of one of the last visits that I had with her when she was at home. Mm-hmm. I remember her just opening up the fridge and eating a cold hot dog, like, from the fridge, and I was like, I'm living for this moment right now. Like, to have known her, the diva, for so many years, and then to see her just with a muumuu, no makeup on, just eating a cold hot dog in the front of the fridge.
That's Hollywood. That's her, honey.
It just made me, like, I was like, I've never seen you look more glamorous, Gigi. She's like, oh, shut up. She loved her wine, too. We would often drink wine together. She loved a nice glass of wine. She liked going out to dinners in Vegas. Yeah, she loved the good life, you know? She loved the good, even if she didn't have a ton of money, she still liked to, you know,
yeah,
kind of live the life like, that was reminiscent of her past. If yeah. That makes sense.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me. Oh my God. I hope to talk to you soon. And I will let you know when the blog is up and what's more. Cause I think also what I'm going to plan on doing is, I work with, well, not work literally, but I collaborate with my alma mater's newspaper a lot. Yeah. And they have asked me to do a kind of series on legendary women, and I was going to include Gloria, if that's okay, in that series.
Yeah,
and kind of share her with a bunch of uneducated students and share her and be like, guess what, because of this woman, you now have movies like Summer Stock, you now have movies and great shows and great comedy and great, you need to understand what this woman is about. So
yeah.
That's my next step, including with this blogathon, which is so excited. And I'm just like, yes.
Well, it was a joy to talk to you, Kate.
It was such a joy to talk to you, too.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about this. Thanks for reaching out.
Yes.
And, I'll touch base with my Aunt Faith, see if she wants to, you know, wants to talk. If she doesn't, she doesn't. But, you know.
Yes, of course, of course. At least we have somebody to talk to. It's at least somebody of a family member, which is really wonderful. And I appreciate it more than you will ever know.
Absolutely. And I'm the only one left, actually, on, except for some uncles that are still in the industry, too. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So, come keep the legacy alive.
Yes, please. Well, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one, Kate.
You too. Bye.